Ira, you know that Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford, presents all your work here at JoeBucksFan.com. And it's April. It is time for the spring trade-up offers through the end of this month at BillCurryFord.com. Spring is a great time for a fresh start, and the inventory is flowing. You can get a new 2020 Ford Explorer Premium. Discounted pricing, more than $14,000 of discounts, including a $9,000 Bill Curry Ford discount. Get to BillCurryFord.com. Sean Sullivan, the general manager, is ready for you. If you want to reach out through the website or on by phone or at the dealership a mile north of Raymond James Stadium, he's going to help you personally, and he loves when you tell him that Ira Kaufman sent you.
You know, Steve, my wife, she loves her 2024 Escape, so she's already looking ahead down the road. We might be talking to Sean Sullivan in the near future, Steve. And how about a brand new Ford Mustang? That's right, Ford Mustang, brand new.
Now you're trying to pick up some women, Ira. I see how you're working here. I see how you're working.
Happily married, Steve. Happily married. That is not an oxymoron. It might be a moron saying it, but it's not an oxymoron.
Nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles at Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com. Ira, we are fired up. NFL draft party opening night, indoors and outdoors at Big Storm Clearwater on 49th Street, just south of Ulmerton Road. This Big Storm Brewery, if fans who haven't been there, we had so much fun there all through the season. Packed houses through the playoffs and the Super Bowl. Just great seating outside, great seating inside, and it's fully covered outdoors. A fantastic viewing, all modern, Florida's best craft beer, an amazing menu. We are so jacked up to invite fans out there starting 7 o'clock Thursday, April 29th. The Sage will be there all night long, and he'll be in a great festive mood. He's fully vaccinated. He'll even do selfies. Are you fired up, Ira?
Steve, I think this is going to be our biggest draft party, and we've had some great ones. I think there's a lot of pent-up passion towards the draft. We had to cancel ours last year. We didn't want to do it, Steve. We didn't want to cancel, but it was in the beginning stages of the pandemic, and we had to be prudent about it. This year, Steve, we're ripping off the bandages, ripping off the masks. I'm fully vaccinated, and I think it's going to be a tremendous turnout. What's the difference? Well, the Bucks don't pick, at 9:20. They're going to pick 11:30. So it's a party all night long. Steve, I don't know if you checked it out. I've already issued some invites. I think it's going to be a fantastic time.
Yeah, we've got some special announcements coming up with that, Ira. People are soon going to see a new television commercial for the draft party with the Sage in it. But Big Storm Brewery, Clearwater, Florida's best craft beer, outdoors, indoors. We got prizes, giveaways, special guests. It's going to be a great draft party. Thursday, April 29th. Come spend the night. Buccaneers fans, here he is, the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the King of Newport Richie, the Custodian of Canton, Uncle Ira, Ira Kaufman, 57 years covering the NFL, and now he's at JoeBucksFan.com. This is the Ira Kaufman Podcast, presented by Bill Curry Ford. Ira, we're all fired up, man. We are draft, and more draft, and some other stuff, too, today. So much good stuff on the table, and our special draft guru is here today. Special draft episode coming up later, Sean Sullivan, and we are always fired up to hear Sean's research, his impressions for a variety of reasons, and we'll explain that later. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper of JoeBucksFan.com is here. Sage, how are you today?
Well, I'm excited already for this draft. I don't care that they got the 32nd pick. I don't care that it might be 12:10 a.m. when they make the darn pick. It's all about the draft. That's what's going on right now. Who knows? They might move up. They might move back. I think it's more likely they move back. But the point is, we're going to have a great time at this draft party. And I ventured over to Big Storm Brewing the other day and went over there for lunch. It was fantastic. I had the fish tacos, my Kolsch beer. The place was packed for lunch. They're doing a great business. They got a tremendous setting out there. Steve, we're 3 weeks away, so I invite everybody, if you can make it, Javier, this is for you. Panama, I understand it's a ways. Can't hop on a bus and get on the B-12 and show up, but if you can, I might buy you a drink, Javier. How do you like that?
All right, Sage, as long as you mentioned the draft, you'd be happy with them trading down or you'd be okay with it. We've talked about that a little bit. That's unlikely that they trade up, But I threw a post up on JoeBucksFan.com, Ira, that sort of talked about the value of the number 32 pick. You know, what could they actually get for it? And teams traded 3 years in a row, 16, 17, 2018, in those drafts. Number 32 overall pick was dealt. And the last one was sort of the straight deal of the three. So in 2018, the Eagles traded with Baltimore. Baltimore, of course, took Lamar Jackson. But what the Eagles got back was a fourth round pick in that draft. They also got Baltimore's second round pick, number 52 overall. And they got a second round pick in the 2019 NFL draft. And that fourth round pick was actually just a swap. So let's just call it that they picked up Baltimore's second round pick. And they also got a second rounder in 2019, the following year. Would that be enough for you guys?
I think that's a very nice return. Why not move back, Lee? Because, look, I'll say it right now. You guys might think I'm nuts, but I think it's very highly unlikely, barring a training camp injury, that anybody they pick at 32 is going to play a lot of snaps for this team, other than special teams. Very unlikely. I mean, who are you going to unseat? Vita Vea? Who are you going to unseat? Carlton Davis? Who are you going to unseat? Antoine Winfield? Who are you going to unseat? Ali Marpet? I mean, let's be realistic. This team's stacked, and they got more depth than we're used to around here. So accumulate more picks. I was just talking to Scott Pioli the other day. And I asked him, what he learned over all those years in New England, being very involved in the draft rooms over there. And he said that he subscribes to the Bill Parcells philosophy. Accumulate picks, and the more picks you have, you're going to miss some, but you'll have a better percentage of picks that hit. Lee, it makes all kinds of sense to move back for the Bucks.
No, ETN's there. I could see ETN getting a lot of snaps, or for these Bama fans that are screaming about that running back from Bama, okay, I'll play along. Najee Harris, I could see those guys getting a lot of snaps for the Bucks. Defensively, no. While you were talking about Scott Pioli, I just thought of this. I was listening to Pat Kerwin on SiriusXM NFL Radio, and he was just talking about what an absolute strange year this is for the draft. The COVID, there's no combine. They can't work guys out at their own facilities, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Maybe lights of the mind, let's not just trade back. Let's get out of the 32nd pick and stock up on picks the following year when there likely will be a combine, when they'll likely be able to interview guys face-to-face, when they'll likely be able to get guys on their facility fields, their practice fields.
That is a hell of a line, Lee. I didn't even think of that. It goes along with Light for the first time that we can remember, Lee. I think this is his seventh draft in Tampa. And Lee, now he's using the word developmental and 2 years down the road. And, yeah. You know, if he's going to take that tack, why not pick up draft picks for 2022 when their depth might not be as good and they got to lose some guys for contractual reasons? And that makes all kinds of sense, Lee, all kinds of sense.
Sage, I have to argue with your premise. I got to slap you around a little bit. I got to juice you up here. You sound like, I don't know what you sound like here, but I'm a little fired up because I think you can't go into the draft with the premise of, oh, we got all our starters. They do, but it doesn't always work that way come opening day. Once, you know, somebody gets hurt in training camp, somebody's going to miss the first four games. Somebody's going to do something in one of these god-awful preseason games. I mean, that happens. So I don't know if you can really, you know, say, oh, well, we don't want to get a starter out of this. Well, maybe we want an emergency starter out of this. Or maybe there is a cornerback who might be able to beat out a Jamel Dean if he's battling a nagging quad injury through the summer and they go with the rookie to start out. So I don't know. I don't know if I can necessarily buy into that, especially when you look at the secondary, where potentially you might find somebody who, forget about finding somebody, there's just more positions where you can potentially need somebody since you got five starters back there, essentially.
Well, Steve, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying I'd be comfortable where their first draft pick, you know, is number 162. That's not acceptable. I understand that because you're going to have injuries during the season and you might need people. But, Lee, if you trade the 32 and, you know, you move back 12 spots while you're picking up a third rounder or a second rounder for the following year, you know, you're only moving back 12 spots. You don't have a pressing need. I think that makes sense for this team, and you can still find players, plenty of them, that you like. I don't think you're looking at a starter, Lee, at 32. I mean, realistically.
I'm starting to agree with Steve about this. You should. And not so much because you should expect an injury, but, you know, I mentioned ETN or this guy from Alabama that, you know, wrote the rules on how to run. Everybody's Najee Harris. Give me ETN. Anyway, it's a very, very likely possibility. Playoff Lenny's not with the Bucks in 2022. And it's also, although maybe a lesser degree of a possibility, Rojo's not here. Rojo might just say, well, for whatever reason, hell with it. I want to go to some place where, you know, I know I don't have to compete against anybody. I know I can get touches, whatever. So if ETN, for example, is there at 32, I'm all over that. He may not start this year. He'll sure as hell start next year.
You're hung up on this ETN. You just like saying his name, DeKemper.
I love him. I was hoping he'd come out last year to buck the draft. I love him.
Did everybody forget to watch Ronald Jones this season? Did everybody forget about Ronald Jones?
No, yeah, I mean, Lee's talking about the future.
What was the last game he played in the regular season? They forgot him so bad that instead of letting him get 1,000 yards rushing, Brady had to get his roommate all the touches so he can get a bonus.
Well, all season long, Leonard Fournette couldn't beat him out for the starting job until he got hurt. Fournette was sitting on his ass. So that tells you what they think about Ronald Jones when he's healthy.
What happened when playoff Lenny got on the field?
Well, if you're not planning on signing Jones past 2021, why wouldn't you keep Fournette at that point? I mean, you still...
I'm not saying they don't plan on keeping Rojo. But, you know, if Rojo doesn't want to be here, he won't be here. You know, for example, for whatever reason, I'm just saying, for whatever reason, let's say he doesn't want to come back. You can't put a gun to his head and say, no, you're not going anywhere. You're signing with us.
Then you sign Leonard Fournette.
Leonard Fournette's probably going to want a boatload of money.
I think thinking about 2022 without seeing how these guys perform, we're just throwing out pure hypotheticals. But I think a problem, and Arians is all about chemistry and all this stuff, a problem with Etienne is, suppose he is a world beater, right? Suppose he comes in and he looks, wow, this guy's ready to rumble for 1,250 yards. And that's great. It's certainly not a problem, but it might be a problem in the locker room when you got Rojo, who's had confidence issues and all these, you know, things that they've coddled him with. And we know playoff Lenny had some issues last year where, you know, he's getting counseling from Antonio Brown and he's getting benched. That might not go over well in that room that they adore, that they know they can win a Super Bowl with Ronald Jones and Fournette and Keyshawn Vaughn. So maybe, just maybe, as much as it might pain us, if the running back is there, they might not do it just for chemistry reasons. Do you guys buy into that?
Not well. When's the last time you heard of an insurrection in a locker room because a guy was producing and helping win games?
Well, we don't know that they don't that they're not very high on Vaughn at this point. We don't know that.
I'm not ready to throw sand in his face yet. I would find it extremely difficult to pass up on ETN because of Keyshawn Vaughn. To do that, that guy must look like Tony Dorsett in practice or something.
All right.
And we were talking about an elite running back, ETN, and who can catch? Tyler Johnson's shown me more than Keyshawn Vaughn. I think they could be good players, but I'm not confident they can next year. Their future may be around the corner, but everything, and I mean everything, should be about 2021, should be about guys on the field in 2021, not hope and prayer.
Sage, good morning, America. Did you tune in? Brady, Michael Strahan, Brady talking about almost getting a little frustrated in a playful kind of way, answering the question about how much he loves to play football and why he keeps going, and that he just sort of said, I just, you know, have this burning urge to throw freaking spirals. What do you want from me?
That's a tremendous line from Brady. All he wants to do is throw a freaking spiral. All I want to do is shoot a 90 in golf. I mean, it's the same thing. it's good to see, you know, when Brady does these things, he doesn't often, you know, give a glimpse of the guy behind the helmet. And, of course, Lee's guy, Howard Stern, is masterful at bringing out, you know, all the dirt and the secrets. And Stern did a heck of a job on Brady last year. And Strahan did a good job asking him about the throwing of the Lombardi Trophy. And, you know, look, I think Buck fans are craving any peek into the guy behind the curtain. You know, we're all trying to figure out what drives this guy. I mean, he's as competitive as anybody we've ever seen on a professional sports level. And I think it comes down to, you know, he loves the game. I think that's what it's all about. I think if they paid him $300,000, his agent would go crazy, but I think he'd probably play anyway. He loves the game, and I think that's what's keeping him going, Lee, because on the face of it, as I wrote the other day, I think he's running out of challenges. I do.
Wow. I was painted you, Ira, as a Today Show kind of guy. A little surprised you watched Good Morning America. Brady, what I thought was interesting about the interview, Brady admitted, and I'm paraphrasing here, I don't have that much more time.
Yeah.
To me, that was a rare admission from him of anything. Rare admission. I wonder what he's thinking. 2 years, 3 years? I know he's always said, I want to play till I'm 45. I want to play till I'm 45. And he extended his contract where he could do that. So I don't know if he's already has it in his head, 45 and that's it or what. But that surprised me.
He doesn't often admit to anything along the lines of age. Very, very rarely. I was a little surprised he said that.
He's kind of like you that way, Ira. So you guys have a lot in common. You know, I don't know where Brady stands. Nobody really does. Like you said, it's sort of fun to get a glimpse. It gets you thinking and talking about what does he really mean? What does more time mean? You know, for Brady, more time is not more time than it might be for somebody else. You know, you don't even know how he considers his career because no one's ever done this before. I don't know. I think the only insight I could speculate is that I sort of feel like, and this is just a gut feeling, I sort of feel like Brady might be looking at this like John Elway did at the end of his career. Elway had a strong season when he won his back-to-back Super Bowls. That was his last year. He was 38, 39 years old. He was playing well. He was still healthy, had a good Super Bowl. I sort of think if Brady gets back-to-back with the Bucs, I think he just walks out the door with Arians. They high-five and move on.
You know, Steve, mold, it can really do you in as a homeowner. And it's something you got to get on right away. And your first call has to be Florida's Elite Restoration. You call them before you call your home insurance company. You need them to come out and give you an honest estimate, an assessment. And the key word is honest. They'll tell you exactly what's involved and what you need to do. Florida's Elite Restoration, your first phone call for any mold concerns.
Florida's Elite Restoration.com. 24/7, you can call them 24/7. They're going to respond and give you that free estimate and assessment of what's happening. And they work with their partners that can help you out. They will be able to help you if you need it. The key is to not get ripped off. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Your first phone call when you have an issue in your house. And this is serious business. Any kind of disaster, fire, wind, mold. You come home, you find mold behind the washing machine. There's a leak. You got a problem. You call Florida's Elite Restoration immediately.
Giselle asked them, while the confetti's coming down at Ray J, Tom, honey, what more do you have to prove?
When she said that really got my antenna up.
You know, and she's a powerful influence on him, as she should be. He said right away, I'm coming back, right? Like 10 minutes after she asked him that, he was on the podium saying, I'm coming back.
Ira, this is a great way to turning it over to our draft guru, Sean Sullivan. That, yes, that's the Sean Sullivan, general manager of Bill Curry Ford. He doubles as a draft guru. And as we explain what his credentials are and why we bring him on, everybody will hear that. But I know that you're going to crack up about this, Ira. I was watching a recent interview with Giselle on Brazilian television about 2 weeks ago. And I was hoping somebody would translate it and, you know, figure it out and translate it for Bucks related stuff, but that never appeared online. But there was a little bit of English spoken, And much to my surprise, maybe 10, 12 minutes into the interview, she brings in Tom Brady and he talks a little Portuguese. And then he is speaking in English to the host. Now, there wasn't much revealed there, but he did share that his next steps in his career after football is helping her with her career and various endeavors that she's involved in, and that he's looking forward to it. And it sort of felt like they have some sort of an agreement, like, all right, you play football as long as you can, but then when you get out, you're going to be working for me, kind of thing. And, you know, if that's any insight to anybody, but yeah, my Portuguese is not good, Ira.
That's a good story, Steve. That's a good story, but you left out the crux of the story, which is the only reason you were watching Brazilian television is you thought Shakira was going to make an appearance. And
Brazilian?
I don't know. She can be anything she wants as far as this business is concerned. She can be Russian. He's watching her.
Two words. I thought Steve was a Britney Spears kind of guy that he wanted to go to Vegas to watch her show. Two words. Google Translate. You just have the Google Translate app, and it would probably translate whatever she was saying for you.
Steve is watching Brazilian television. That says it all, Lee. Says it all.
Well, the funny part is that Ira references pop stars, you know, vicariously.
As many pop stars.
he vicariously references his own interest through me. It's his secret way of doing that.
Isn't Shakira about as relevant as Britney Spears? I mean, seriously, isn't she like 10 years past her prime?
I don't know. I saw her on an HBO special. I've seen it about 6 times.
Uh-oh.
All right, let's head over to our draft chat with Sean Sullivan, diving into 6 different prospects that we're looking at, Bucks fans can keep their eye on. Unlike you, Ira, Sean said he has watched the Super Bowl 6 times already. So that explains the priorities. Here he is, Ira. Here he is. He doesn't get one of those big introductions with 17 nicknames like you get. But everybody who listens to this podcast knows the name. GM Sean Sullivan at Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford. But today, he's our draft guru. And Ira, I got to say this, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart, and I know you do as well. The only reason we do this with Sean every year is because he puts in the work. He's sitting there studying prospects like your typical draft lunatic going back to last Thanksgiving. I mean, that's just how it is for Sean. I remember I called him the other day and he said, well, you know, the Bucks, the draft isn't as interesting this year and this and that. I've already done my work, so I'm working on the Jets draft. I mean, this is what the guy's doing in Tampa, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium, when he's not helping customers. Sean, welcome back to the podcast. I'm just still so happy for you that the Bucks won the Super Bowl.
Steve, I want to say thank you so much for having me. I am super obviously thrilled as a Bucks fan since day one. It's such a privilege and honor to be a Super Bowl champion. Like, I feel like I contributed to it. You know, as funny as that is, as a fan, you feel like you're part of it. You know, you're part of the winning and you're part of the championship as much as we're part of the losing. So I can't tell you how excited I am. I could jump out of the building. You should have seen me right after the Super Bowl. I couldn't talk for a week. So everyone had to do sign language at the dealership.
You know, Sean, has it sunk in? It's been about 2 months. And you know what? For me, I got to be honest. It really hasn't sunk in that a franchise this irrelevant for so many years is actually sitting on top of the NFL mountaintop. Sean, I'm not sure we really appreciate what the heck just happened.
That's a good point. I can tell you that it definitely sunk in with, I was ready. If I could frame Aaron Rodgers' face walking off the field in Green Bay, I would. I'd put that in my meeting room so I could look at it every day and enjoy his face of disappointment as he was coming off that field. It's such a great feeling because we're always overlooked. And I feel like we never get our share of proper publicity. And, you know, some of that's brought on by ourselves. But, man, did we do everything right. Everything came together. I couldn't be more proud of Jason Light and the work that he did on this roster. When you look back, I think we have the best roster in the NFL. I think we have the most depth. I think he built an amazing offensive line. And I think he deserves a lot of credit. I heard on one of the podcasts, he said, are we giving them too much credit? I just don't think that you can. He did such a phenomenal job. And I'm very proud that he's our GM.
Sean, before we get into your overview of the draft, Sean, I've been saying on the podcast, and you've heard me, do you agree or disagree that as long as you've been watching this franchise, which is a long time, through the ups and downs, this is really, Sean, the first time that I can ever recall the Bucs going into a draft without a glaring need, unless you want to count trying to replace Ryan Smith as a gunner. But you know what I mean, Sean. I think any rookie is going to have a very hard time making an impact on the 2021 Bucs.
I couldn't agree with you more. You heard what Jason Light said. He said we're in a position now where we can take the best available player and we can take him a couple of years to develop. So when I hear the word develop, you know, everybody immediately goes to quarterback and they're like, are they going to take a quarterback at 32 so they can lock him up for 5 years? Are they going to develop him behind Brady? I myself would be disappointed if we took a quarterback. I think Brady might play 5 more years the way he's going. I think that we need to focus completely on depth or get a special player at 32. And I think that's what we need to be focused on is another championship. You know, obviously I read Joe Buck's fan. I read every day. I listen to the fans. I read the fans' comments. And, you know, a lot of the fans are like, you know, we need to think about the future and whatever. Well, my future is now. I mean, we thought about the future for 14 seasons before in a 16-year stretch where we didn't win. I want to win now. I would like to go after a undefeated season, a 17-game undefeated season next year. I'd like to play 6 primetime games. You know, after week 12, the NFL is moving to be able to move any team they want to Monday Night Football. That's very exciting. But depth, Ira. And we didn't just lose Ryan. We also lost Adams, another backup special team safety. So we actually lost 2 special team players, you know. And obviously special teams is a place where, you know, you win and lose with special teams. I think it's important that we focus on if we're not going to get a starter at 32, that we're going to get somebody that can immediately play special teams for us and give us depth at several different positions.
And you can throw Anthony Auclair into that mix as well. He played when he was there. So, you know, it is kind of a special teams draft in some ways, but I don't know if you can really approach it that way. Quality players, wherever they are, should be able to play special teams, but you need those guys, the running backs, the receivers, the linebackers, you know, the corners to be able to play special teams as well. All right, Sean, but going right into the draft here, you said it yourself. Ira said it. Awesome roster, great depth. So what do you do at 32? I think it's a safe bet the Bucs aren't going to trade up. I think that's a pretty safe bet. So let's go to the offensive side of the ball. We have you here today to whet our appetite with 3 guys that you have your eye on for the Bucs in the first round. So let's start on offense. These are in no particular order, just 3 guys that you are targeting that we should look into a little bit deeper.
Perfect. So let's start with wide receiver, right? So do we need a wide receiver? I love our depth at wide receiver. Jason Light's been excellent at picking these, you know, Scotty Miller, Tyler Johnson guys in the lower rounds. But I don't know about Godwin. I don't know if we're going to be able to pay him next year. If we lose Godwin in the slot, we're going to need a slot receiver because I think Scotty Miller is not going to play the slot. I think he's going to be an outside receiver, same with Tyler Johnson. So my first guy that's very interesting guy who compares very favorable to Steve Smith is this Elijah Moore out of Mississippi. 5'9", 178. He just ran a 4.35 40, which obviously that's a little faster than what he would have run at the combine, obviously with pro days, you know, adding about a tenth of a point on that. So he's probably more of a 4.39, 4.4. As far as the stuff that I have on him, as far as the breakdown of what he actually can do, he's definitely a slot receiver. He's not going to play on the outside. He's a tough guy. He had the best catch to target ratio in college football. He's as reliable. He only had 2 drops on 200 catchable targets. That's incredible. That's hand. And he was a screen guy, yards after the catch guy. So he fits the Tom Brady mold. He can come right in this year and get some reps behind those guys, especially if we don't sign AB. And he can also play special teams. He can also return kicks and punts.
And just quick on him, Sean, background, is he any red flags on him? Anything we should know?
You know, he's 5'9", right? So, I mean, you know, people are going to always say that he's a smallish wide receiver at 5'9", 178, but you have the Heisman Trophy winner and possibly a top 10 pick who's much smaller than Elijah Moore and Devontae Smith. So when you see him on film, he looks like the best player on the field. My thinking is on this is he's very Tyreek Hill-ish, and I know that that's everybody throws it around if you run a 4.3 and they compare you to Tyreek Hill. But if you watch Tyreek Hill in college and you watch Elijah Moore, they're very similar players.
Interesting. Sage, any thoughts? Otherwise, we'll move on to the next guy.
What's Mississippi's recent sort of vintage in terms of turning out the receivers that are decent pros?
Not a great track record of professional receivers, but as far as who's throwing in the ball, nobody in particular that's any good. What I do is when I watch the film, I'm not watching all the other players. I'm watching how he runs his routes, how he catches the ball, how he turns up the field, his start-stop. I really like how he doesn't double catch. I mean, that's a very important thing to watch. You know, Chris Godwin didn't do that at Penn State. A lot of these guys that you watch on film, they double catch. I think that's a big deal. His screen pass, the way he runs his routes, the way he gets open, the way he creates space. Again, his NFL comparison is Steve Smith because of the way Steve always got open. I just think he's more Tyreek Hill-ish. I don't think he had anything special around him. I think that he showed up because he was on an okay team. And he went to St. Thomas Aquinas High School. As you know, that's put a couple of NFL players in the NFL. A couple of guys.
All right, now, Sean, I'm gonna play spoiler here because I know you mentioned that running back out of North Carolina, Javonte Williams, was on your list. So let's go to him next. 20 years old, raw, super talent. He seems to sort of fit the mold only in the sense of that I'm mentioning with Jason Light looking at a guy who's going to be the best player in 2 years. Really just an incredible kind of prospect. What can you tell us about him?
Steve, you really hit the nail on the head there. I wanted to find a compliment to Devon. As you know, recently, you don't know if it's smoke or not, but, you know, Bruce came out and said, you know, one of the most impressive players has been Keshawn Vaughn and how he's played. And he was a five-star recruit, and he did have a terrific career at Vanderbilt. And I think he showed glimpses of what he could do last year. I don't think he got a lot of reps because we were obviously on a Super Bowl run. And ball security was big, and assignments, you can't miss assignments in these big games. And it must have been hard not having a training camp. So we don't know where he is in his development. Let's just say he is on schedule. He's not going to be a power back. So right now you have Ronald Jones. I don't think we're going to re-sign Ronald Jones. And I don't think that Fournette will be back next year. He's on a one-year deal, incentive laden up to $5 million. I think that that's because we're going back for the Super Bowl. I think next year, looking at the running backs, I believe that Vaughn is the only one we have under contract. So you add Javonte Williams to that mix, and it is one of the best film you're going to watch. If you really want to enjoy watching film and you find offensive linemen boring and you find all this stuff, that's fine. Watch Javonte Williams' YouTube. It is just so fun. I grew up watching Earl Campbell run, and Earl Campbell looked for contact. He looked to hurt you. He looked to run over you. He never ran away from contact. This guy runs the contact.
I liken it to Ira heading to the buffet.
Yes.
Look out, boy.
I was looking for someone to knock down. He's looking for someone to knock down for his salad, right? So this guy chooses violence over finesse, and I really like that a lot. I think his balance and he stays on his feet, like those are obviously things that make a running back terrific. But and he ran a 4.5 40, which is, you know, pretty fast for a 5'10", 220 guy. It's not exceptional. At his hands, he did catch 200 yards last year, caught 24 passes, I think. His hands are good. They're not terrific, but they're good. But as far as replacing a Leonard Fournette and trying to put in and maybe balancing him with a Vaughn, I think this is the right guy. I think that he answers a lot of questions. And I think that this would just be a luxury pick for us at 32, where Jason Light's going to go, okay, let's just get this guy in the mix because we're going to have a different running back room after we win the Super Bowl next year. We need to look at that. And I think that's the only reason why I put a running back in here. I don't think that Jason Light values a first-round running back. I don't think he wants to pay a first-round running back. I just put this in there because several running backs have been looped to the Bucs, including, you know, MTM and Javonte Williams, Najee Harris. These guys are all linked to the Bucs. I personally don't see us drafting a running back at 32, but if we do, those other guys aren't going to be on the board. This is our best chance for a superstar at 32.
Sean, I like that sentence. Buck fans, according to the poll that Steve put out, pick a position you think the Bucks are going to draft at 32. Running back won the poll, but I'm with you, Sean. I don't think Arians is necessarily putting a big value on running back at first round, nor is Light. I'm higher on Ronald Jones than a lot of Buck fans. I thought he was outstanding last year. Outstanding. Till he got hurt. You want to compliment him with a guy that can catch the ball. You can pick up a Giovanni Bernard for nothing. He's out there now. Pick him up. And who says Vaughn's not a player, Sean?
I believe that Vaughn will get the job done. That's my point on this. I think when you look at the depth on this team, right now you have three running backs on the roster, right? You got to add a fourth running back, whether it comes as a free agent, you know, whether they draft a Michael Carter down in the lower rounds, or, you know, that Felton out of UCLA was linked to them because they had two interviews with Felton. If that comes later, because he can play special teams. But I wanted to pick a guy that I thought at 32 makes sense and then could be a star for us later. And I believe that he can. My personal opinion is I think we're going to stay in the trenches.
All right, Sean. Well, if you think that there's a good chance that we stay in the trenches, so your third option, I'm assuming on the offense, is someone in the trenches. Maybe I'm wrong.
It is.
Who's number three?
Alex Leatherwood out of Alabama. So he's 6'5", 312. He's a swing tackle. Okay, so this is very important to me because obviously with Tristan Wirth, we don't need a tackle. And Donovan Smith, who's played amazingly well, he's played his best football under Brady. And I think he's up for another two seasons, I believe. So what concerns me is we have no tackle depth after those gentlemen, right? So Jason Light's done an amazing job at guard. I believe that we have guard depth with Stenny. And the way that Jason Light finds guards off the street, I'm just unconcerned about it. A tackle's much harder to find. This guy, Alex Leatherwood, right, plays both tackles. He started a freshman at guard, so he plays guard in both tackle positions. As far as his length of arms, he has the longest arms in the tackle drafts. So basically they say when he locks you up, you're done. So it's very similar to Dotson as far as the length of his arms, but not with the 6'9 height. He's 6'5". So he's much better for a tackle at his height, so you can't get low on him. The interesting thing is he had 14 big-time blocks last year. So that's how they measure it in college football for a lot of the deals is, how does he block against top ends? How is he blocking against five-star recruits? This guy has been very, very solid. And you know what? He's the best pro-ready guy from whatever. If you read everything, everybody has an upside. Everybody has potential. This guy's basically a plug-and-play guy from day one where you don't want him starting for you from day one, but you know that he can get you reps. And if something happened with Donovan, who's been an Iron Man, but if something does happen or something happens to Wirfs, what are we going to do? Right now, I think this is an area of need, and I think that Jason would do great by drafting somebody like this in the first round.
What's the quality of the tackles in this draft, and is it realistic that this guy lasts till number 32?
Yes, it is realistic because he's a developmental tackle, right? So we had four tackles in last year's draft that were starters from day one, including our gentleman, Wirfs, who should have made the Pro Bowl, should have been an All-Pro, and, you know, and he was probably the best right tackle in all of football, and he just didn't get the credit, which, as you know, it'll come as we, you know, we might have to win another Super Bowl to actually get a Pro Bowler since we only had one. You know, we won the Super Bowl, we had one Pro Bowler. You tell me there's no politics in that. But I think that the tackle depth is terrific. I don't think there's superstars like Wirfs out there. I don't think that there's a Becton out there, like for the Jets. I think he's going to be a perennial Pro Bowler for the Jets. I don't see that kind of guy, but there's definitely depth. And I think if we're going to address the offensive line, get a guy that played left tackle, right tackle, and guard in college.
All right, thanks, Sean. I'm real curious to look at him. I haven't taken a good look yet, but that's why we're here. It's time to dive deep into the draft, and you're the guy to turn to. If you're just jumping in or you fast-forwarded and wondering what's going on, this is Sean Sullivan, the great general manager of Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford, but he's also our resident draft guru. He puts in as much work there as he does helping customers every single day at Bill Curry Ford. And Sean, we're going to hit the three guys we're looking at, you're looking at on defense as possibilities, guys that you're studying for as possibilities for the Bucs. But first I wanted to ask you real quick, you know, we always say on the podcast, ask Sean for help, text him, call him, email him, walk in, whatever. He will help you personally. It's a rare thing for a GM of a dealership anywhere to be able to help fans personally. Can you please tell everyone that you really mean it, that you will help them personally?
Oh, I do. I really do mean it. I have so many Joe Bucks fans come in and talk to me, ask for me. I come out, I talk football with them. I can't tell you how it makes my day. Everybody has a work day, right? It doesn't matter what you do. And there are parts of your day that you shine in, and there are parts of your day that you just go through the motions. And I will tell you that the best part of my day is when someone, when my secretary calls and says, hey, you got a guy down here from Joe Buck fan who wants to talk football and talk the car business with you. It makes my day. You have no idea. I love talking to people about football. The car business is just 10% of it. Like literally there's a coach that came in, he ended up buying three cars from me. I think we talked football 99% of the time. And then 1% of the time I gave him some numbers and he signed some papers and he left in a new car.
Does anybody really come in and say, Mr. Sullivan, I want the Ira Kaufman discount? Anybody ever say that?
Not only does that happen, Ira, they come in and say, and ask me if there's a beet salad at the big storm in the middle of the showroom. Because your name always comes up during the process. Everybody always asks me how you are and if you were like the same way you are on the radio. And I said, he's the exact same guy all the time.
They're worried about you, Ira. They think you're, you know, just a couple of weeks from 90 years old. They're scared. They're scared for you.
John, every time I tell Steve I'm thinking about retiring in a year or two, he tells me absolutely not, Sean. So I'm going to lean on you for advice. Should I stick with this, Mr. Sullivan?
You're at the top of your game, Ira. My position is while you're still on top, enjoy it. Yes, stay, hang around and watch what makes us both happy, and that's us win. We're going to win again this year. I have no doubt they're going to go through, and I just want to sit back and enjoy it. Enjoy being a winner as a Bucks fan. It means so much. I, you know, for those of you who don't know why I'm a Bucks fan, I think I've told this to a few times, but you know, 1976, my father took me to every game from 76 to 84. Then I lost my father. So the best memories I have, and keep in mind that there were two straight seasons where we lost every game, and it was still the best afternoon of my life with my dad. So I can tell you those memories don't go away. And I enjoy doing those with my son. And I got to sit with my son and watch us walk off of Tampa Stadium, Super Bowl champion. I can't tell you how much that meant to me and how much it would have meant to my father. He would have really enjoyed it. And that's why I'm so thankful for the Bucks organization and for them deciding to actually make us winners and the effort they put in to make this team a winner. And obviously very proud of our city and everything that went into the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And it does mean a lot when you've been around it for so long and suffering and grinding through and hoping. And every year, it really is a gift. Sean, defense, who's up first? Who should we be looking at?
So I went with Warren Sapp's favorite defensive tackle in the draft. And the reason why I went with Christian Barrymore was because he has been linked to the Bucs on several occasions. So, you know, obviously this was before we re-signed Sue, and we have Vea, Nunez-Roches, and Golston, and basically, and Pierre-Paul obviously pops inside and out. I believe his contract's up at the end of the year. I don't believe that Sue plays another season. So that's why we're going with a Christian Barrymore pick, 6'4", 3'10". People, everyone knows him. He's out of Alabama. If you watched an Alabama playoff game or championship game, this guy shows up in those games. To Sapp's point, he didn't show up in some of the more boring games, but in the big games, he is definitely there. He's obviously NFL ready. He's a pass rushing defensive tackle. He's big, strong, long arms. He's got violent hands. And he had, in the college football playoffs, he had 12 pressures and 8 stops, you know, from the defensive tackle position. 8 stops as a defensive tackle is a lot of tackles. As you know,
I like the idea of that pick, Sean. I like that one.
I watched his tape, and he definitely at times can be very dominant. I personally am leery of anybody that doesn't give me the motor the whole time of the game. And maybe that's just because I've been burned as a Bucks fan. Draft picks over the last, 40 years, maybe that's what it is. I can give you so many examples, and I can give you Alabama examples of guys that were drafted high between Eric Curry and Keith McCants. And the guys that we drafted that did not have the motor on the field. And this guy shows up in big games and doesn't show up in the everyday games, in the lunch pail games. And then those are the Carolina 4 o'clock games where, you know, it's just a drag out fight in the afternoon and everybody's just playing up to 75% speed. And you're like, man, we should be blowing this game out. Why aren't you guys fighting? Then the next week, you know, you play Drew Brees in New Orleans and everybody's trying to play hard. So I want guys that want to give you everything they got every time they walk on the field, like the Will Golsons of the world, the Sues of the world. Plays. I didn't see Tristan Wirfs take off a play. The guy dominated from the first snap of that game. He's trying to hit somebody, he's trying to block somebody, he's trying to move. Jensen's another one of those guys. I never see the guy take off a play. Then I just don't want to take a step backwards. And I'm not saying that this guy, Christian Barmore, is that, but it does give me some red flags when not just when Stapp says it, who's probably the second greatest interior three technique probably in the history of the game, but, you know, other draft pundits have also talked about the motor.
He sounds a little bit like Isbitz. You know, he picks his spots, John.
Well, that's why he would fall to 32. So this is saying, listen, if the guy had a motor that went 100%, the guy's a top 10 pick. But he is by far ranked by every single person as the number one defensive tackle. So that's why I put him in there for us.
Sure. And you know what? Donovan Smith had a reputation like that coming out of college. It was probably a reason that he fell to the second round. This guy,
the top of the second round.
Barmore could be the sort of like a Donovan Smith type equivalent, but he doesn't have to come in and start right away. So another guy to look at, of course, somebody that just about everyone paying attention is aware of. Who's next, Sean? You got anybody on the edge? You got a safety? What are we looking at?
So Joe Tryon out of Washington, this guy's super interesting, right? So 6'5", 262. So he's got the right size. He can play inside and outside. He opted out last season. And I think that's why we have a chance to get him at 32, is because you don't have tape from last year. But as a sophomore, he had 41 tackles, 12 and a half tackles for loss, and 8 sacks in 13 games. This guy can play. But I think this opting out thing could make some of these players drop. And I think he's one of the players that could drop down a little bit. Now, as I said before, is he a true edge rusher? Probably not, because he can actually play inside and outside. And I like the Bucks. I think, are very much into that, where when they move Pierre Paul in, they move him out. They put Golston in, they put Golston out. As you notice, they like to have the flexibility of moving these guys around.
Yeah,
I really like this guy.
Sure, the more flexible, the better, and they have the depth and the talent to do that. Well, you don't want a guy at this spot in the draft who you're sort of just pigeonholing. And, of course, if you're looking at the future, we don't even know what defensive coordinator is going to be here in 2 years and what kind of defense he might be running at that point.
Does he rely, Sean, more on his guile and speed or physicality?
He's got both, Ira. He's got the power to dig in there for tackles for loss. He's going to beat the tackle and get in the backfield. I think that's exactly what we're looking for. And if we're looking for a player to take on 20% or 30% of the snaps behind Pierre Paul, this is a guy that could develop into something.
And who's the third defensive player, Sean, we should be keeping a little deeper eye on as we walk toward the draft here? Your sixth prospect for us to just take a little extra attention at number 32 overall.
This is a strange one where you're looking at the production versus his actual stats. Jason Owe, since he broke several NFL records during that Penn State pro day for his size and weight with his jump and his 40 time. I mean, he ran faster than most receivers. He was a sub 4.4 at 6'5", 257. So this gentleman did not have any sacks last year. He had 5 sacks the previous year. And again, he is a pass rusher. So, you know, it's one of those things. Okay, am I going to draft a pass rusher who didn't have a sack last year, like drafting a quarterback that doesn't throw a touchdown pass? You know, it's definitely a gamble. But when Jason Light said we have the ability now to draft somebody that we would like, and we don't have to play them right away. We have time to coach them up and develop them. Here's a sophomore who had only 1 year of high school football and basically a year and a half of college football. So has he been coached up? Has he had the proper techniques? I don't think so. Does he have all the physical tools to be a dominant pass rusher in the NFL? Yes, he does. With that speed and size, there's really no NFL comparison to him.
Sean, you're aware in the past of guys they call workout warriors.
I am.
Sean, they don't have a great track record.
They do not, especially with the Buccaneers.
And, you know, one guy, when I think of that, I always think of JPP coming out of USF. Just played there one season, was just a freakish athlete with a high motor. You know, he only had, I believe it was 6 sacks at USF. That was his only year of major college football. he was doing the backflips. He had the talent and the raw athleticism. And, you know, he's obviously proved to be a unique kind of player. But when you have a chance to coach a guy like this up, it becomes very interesting.
If you want to talk about the two as an athlete, like if you take Pierre Paul's pro day and you compare it to Jason Owe's pro day, and you look at those, Jason kills his pro day. So if you're just looking for athletic talent, and remember, Pierre Paul was one of the most athletic people I've ever seen. Those backflips, those standing backflips, I've never seen a man his size and his height flip like that. I couldn't believe it when I saw it, and that would have blown me away as a scout. I was like, how could he be this athletic at this size?
Well, I've seen those when the tater tots come out and Ira's about 12 feet away from the table, a couple of backflips, he's right there.
When have you ever seen an edge prospect at 257 pounds, 260 pounds, could outrun every receiver on your team but one on the Buccaneers?
No, it's he insane. It's insane.
Sean, one more point that I think is fair to make about this current Buccaneer squad. Sean, this is one of the best coaching staffs they've ever had. You know, you go back to Dungy's staff with Kiffin and Tomlin and Marinelli and the rest. This one's right up there, Sean, in terms of developing young players, and that's something you and I haven't talked about much until last year. So I think that might be a plus in terms of a guy that needs some development.
As we talked about before, I'm an impact guy. Can this OA kid, can he make an impact on a Super Bowl run team this year? Or is he a guy that we're going to develop on the sideline? Is he worth the 32nd overall pick? Someone's going to run on this guy. He's either going to go in the middle of the first round or he's going to drop to the second round. As you know, you know what I mean? It's going to be one of those where someone's going to fall in love with him and try to develop him. And my thought is there's other players that are already have the college production. You know, it always takes me back to Bill Parcells. Bill Parcells, when he was talking about his football rules for drafting quarterback, he said, your accuracy does not improve in the NFL. You know, so people draft quarterbacks every year and they try to make excuses for their completion percentage. You know, and we did the same thing for a quarterback that we drafted here out of Kansas State. We said, oh, he didn't have great players around him with Josh Freeman. And we said, his accuracy never got better, Ira. And Bill Parcells is right. You don't get better if you can't produce in college, you're not going to produce in the NFL. And I'm not saying it's an absolute, and I'm not saying that this Jason Owe kid's not going to be the greatest pass rusher the NFL has ever seen, but the odds are all against him. And it just is. Look at what happened with Marcus Davenport for New Orleans. New Orleans was a pass rusher away from being a Super Bowl contender. This is what they believed until they met the Bucs and we crushed them and then made Drew Brees retire, which, by the way, was my second favorite moment other than closing the Met for Philadelphia when Jared Vicious closed the Eagles stadium. That was the second greatest moment of my life, was watching Drew Brees wave at five fans and then never come back on the field. But anyway, I don't want to get off subject.
You were talking about Marcus Davenport.
Davenport, they traded two number one picks for a guy that did not produce at a Division II school in college. He had potential to produce, but he didn't dominate at the level of competition that he should have dominated at if he was that talented. They're like, oh, we just need to coach him up. Well, how many years ago was that, Ira? I believe this is 4 years.
He's just a guy, Sean. He's
just a guy. As a general manager, I'm going to trust in Jason Light that he's going to say, hey, I don't draft for potential, I draft for production, and see if he stays with that philosophy. But if they're sitting there at 32 and Owe's still on the board, and he's on the board with, say, you know, with the gentleman that I just talked about with, you know, Joe Tryon, and he's on there from Washington, or you have, Rope from Miami or Phillips from Miami Falls in the first round, and they're sitting there, those are accomplished pass rushers. And then you have this gentleman sitting there, I don't know what you do.
All right, Sean, now you are going to be back on the podcast with a mock draft as we get closer. Very excited about that. We're planning to see you out at our big draft party, Big Storm Brewing Company in Clearwater, Thursday, April 29th. Opening night of the draft is going to be a long, fun night for football fans who just love the excitement, the drama, and, of course, the draft, which is always quite a spectacle. And, Sean, before we get out of here, I want to remind everybody they can find you at BillCurryFord.com. They can find you at the dealership a mile north of Raymond James Stadium,
Bill Curry Ford, a Tampa tradition for 60 plus years. And I know you're carrying on that tradition of giving to the community. You guys are just ramping it up every single quarter, it seems. And I wanted to mention, I know it was something we talked about before the Super Bowl. Will Golston gave a $225,000 donation to Moffitt Cancer Center. I know it really resonated with you and at Bill Curry Ford for all the donations that you guys give as well, and especially to that mission. What did you want to say about that, Sean?
This is something that, you know, football and business aside means a lot to me. You know, Jennifer Curry, we spent a lot of time and energy and money with pediatric cancer research in Tampa. It means a lot to me, Moffitt especially. I lost my mother and my father and my brother to cancer. Unfortunately, I've had more than my lifetime of experience with Moffitt, dealing with the great doctors there and the great people there. And when I saw that he donated this money, and, you know, he's a special man to donate that money and to $250,000. And I know, well, he's a millionaire and, you know, he makes a lot of money. Listen, millionaires hold onto their money tighter than anybody I've ever met. I know a lot of them. They hold onto their money. So they're not just free with it. The fact that he donated this money, that he had the heart to do it, it's going to help children. It's going to help people. It meant a ton. And I know it meant a lot to Jennifer as well, because, again, we do a lot with the Shriners and we do a lot with Moffitt. It definitely hits home with us. And I wanted to say a big thank you to Will Golston, and thanks for being a strong leader at his age in the community. Well done.
Very well said, Sean. Very well said. We'll see you at the dealership at Bill Curry Ford and later this month.
Thank you, Steve. Ira, you take care.
See you soon, Sean.
See you soon.
All right. Awesome draft talk there. Good to really dive in to start looking at prospects in a more pinpoint kind of way. And of course, as we heard earlier, our NFL draft party is in 3 weeks, Thursday, April 29th. By now, you're probably seeing the television commercial that Ira cut on joebucksfan.com and on social media. Great time ahead at Big Storm Clearwater. Indoor seating, outdoor seating, fully covered, great food. It's going to be a great, great time. Ira, let's go back to that Brady interview on Good Morning America. What does it mean for his teammates? Was he sending any kind of messages to them? Did you get anything deeper into, you know, everything Brady does is very calculated, other than him wanting a free trip to Disney World, because he would talk about it on TV? What else should we learn from that?
What I get is that he's not taking anything for granted. It's a new year. Like Arian says, they haven't done anything, 2021 bucks. But I think he serves as an example, Steve, to the young guys, that if this guy who's going to be 44 in a couple of months, has this kind of passion for the game, I mean, you know, what's Jamel Dean supposed to think about playing the game of football? It's incredible, the example that he sets in terms of commitment, dedication to his craft. He still wants to get better, Steve. You know, DeKemper stopped doing that in 97. And he still wants to get better. So that's what I take out of that interview, is Brady's passion for the game leaps off the screen and grabs you.
Ira Lee brought
it's a beautiful thing, Steve.
Ira Lee brought this up in our last podcast. And of course, subscribe to the podcast at Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Google Play, Podcast Addict. Actually, Google Play is now Google Podcasts for a free alert. We appreciate our many thousands of subscribers. Ira, I wanted to bring this up because Lee mentioned it and it took a new turn this week. And we'll go out of the podcast on this. Jason LaConfora, former NFL Network reporter, now with CBS, a true insider as far as his sources and all that. He wrote about how the Panthers are dangling Teddy Bridgewater, looking for trade offers, and they're probably not going to find any because he's making so much money. But LaConfora was very specific. NFC, there's an interest in the NFC South, strong interest in the NFC South for Bridgewater. Now, interest doesn't mean trade interest, but interest is interest. And of course, there's a chance that Carolina just cuts Bridgewater, moves on, you know, takes its lumps, and that's it. But we know that that interest, there's no way that it would make any logical sense that the interest is in New Orleans. That doesn't make any sense. There's right. No logical reason that the interest is in Atlanta, where they're probably going to draft a quarterback. And if they don't, then that's a blessing for Matt Ryan. And Matt Ryan competing with Teddy Bridgewater doesn't really make much sense. So that brings us back to the other team in the division, which is Tampa, that has no backup quarterback on the roster. And if Bridgewater got cut, all of a sudden, you know, maybe Bruce Arians says, Teddy, come here. We got $4 million for you. What do you think?
Steve, your mind's always working overtime. First of all, I would not dismiss the Falcons. And that's if Lacanfora's information about the NFC South is correct. I don't know if I'm willing to go to that assumption. But as far as the Bucs are concerned, Blaine Gabbert's the guy. Nobody wants him except Bruce Arians. He's going to come a lot cheaper than Bridgewater.
Not on the roster.
I don't see paying Bridgewater the money that he thinks he can get elsewhere in Tampa, hoping that the guy never takes a snap. So I understand what you're saying, Steve, but I would be surprised if it happened.
I heard some interesting information listening to Michael Lombardi's podcast. Lombardi said, and I quote, "I know New Orleans was kicking the tires on," and I can't think of his name right now, "Sam Darnold." I know Lombardi said. So if he was kicking the, if Sean Payton was kicking the tires on Sam Darnold, I don't think it's a stretch to say, you know, he may have given Carolina a call. What's going on with Teddy? Because he knows him, obviously. Now, Lacanfora also said there was internal discussions at One Buck Palace. Now, you can interpret what internal discussions mean. There were internal discussions about Teddy Bridgewater. Right now, there's only one quarterback on the roster. And, of course, that man's name is Brady.
I'm not going to pour water on it because I'm the guy that says they need a better backup quarterback. So, you know, I'm the guy that, you know, can't understand why Blaine Gabbert is the life preserver behind Tom Brady. So I very well can't have that view and then going to get an upgrade like Bridgewater. Didn't he go 5-0 with the Saints a few years ago, Steve? 5-0?
Absolutely.
If the Bucs pick him up, that'd be the fifth team in 4 years, 5 years that he's been on, which that's more than a red flag. I got a question for you. In my eyes, it's starting to get to be fun with Antonio Brown. What I mean by that is, earlier this week, you know, the Bucs put out a thing on their Instagram account that, you know, look, all these guys we've got back. Antonio Brown comments on the Bucs' Instagram account where they posted his graphic, sign AB. He wrote that, sign AB. And then yesterday, he puts out video on social media, him working out with his cousin Hollywood Brown and Lamar Jackson, who happens to be needing a receiver. To me, it's entertaining that he's putting out this social media stuff. It's like he's trying to force the Bucs' hand. And, you know, he said without saying, Jason Lai, if you don't put a contract I like in my face, I might be playing with Lamar Jackson this fall. Come on, man.
Lee, what you call entertaining, I call unseemly. This is unseemly. This is a guy, Lee, that if I'm still on the committee, you know, in 7 or 8 years, his name's going to come up in front of the Hall of Fame, and he's going to have a pretty darn good chance of ending up with a gold jacket one day, because I think for a period of time he was the best receiver in football. But he's no longer that way, and he's trying to act like he is. I don't see where he's got any leverage on this Buck organization. And I, you know, frankly, I don't think Buck fans are going to lose one wink of sleep if he ends up catching balls from Lamar Jackson. He's still far from free of legal entanglements. That's another layer of trouble. He could blow up at any time. I don't hear Brady, saying anything publicly about Brown. That doesn't help his case. It is what it is, Lee. It's a receiver who's been humbled, was finding a very tepid free agent market. I think we have reason to believe, Lee, we have reason to believe he will end up back with the Bucs this fall.
All right, Ira. Well, much like Antonio Brown's cousin is Hollywood Brown, one day on the podcast we'll have your famous cousin, Hollywood Kaufman. We'll really get the dirt. And we'll explore that angle of your life. All right, Ira, be well. We will see you next week. Two more podcasts. Our thanks to Bill Curry for General Manager Sean Sullivan, not only for taking such great care of Bucs fans who come into the dealership, but for his sage-like wisdom on the draft. That's about it, Ira. We march on. We are less than 3 weeks away, and it's all good. Any parting thought, Ira, or are you just going to go get some dinner?
Well, I'm still thinking about those fish tacos at Big Storm. I mean, it's a heck of a menu. It goes down very nicely with the Kolsch. I'm all about that draft party, gentlemen. I'm already thinking about it.